Welcome to Manage Your Tools. This week, the secrets of a great handshake. The questions this cast answers are, what is a good handshake? How do I give a good handshake? How long do I shake hands for? This year's M Conference has the experts talking about all kinds of things. Sign up at manager-tools.com/conferences. Charco Patterson will talk to us about AI, because who isn't talking about AI? And Manager Tools might have some of its own AI to unveil at the event. David Cohen, General Counsel, will help us learn from our mistakes. Amy Kaufman, the COO of DRB Capital, is going to talk about strategic optics. We're going to learn about developing your people and creating cultures. Ben Haas of LeGrand will teach us how to teach. Mark Thomas, the CTO of MRO Healthcare, will be talking about culture from a tech perspective. And Justin Libby of NYWIC will show us his development playbook. If you're thinking about building organizations and ones that can withstand the changes in markets, Ben Thacker, a VP of Southwest Research Institute, will teach us how to expand initiatives across organizations. Brian Pasbrick, the president of Show Me Ethanol, and Ed Souza, formerly of BASF, will talk about businesses that last, some for 100 years. Come to the M Conference and learn about what's happening next in management and how you can meet the challenges for your business and the challenges of being an executive.
Welcome, folks. The handshake. Regardless of the fact that we just all underwent a worldwide pandemic when we were forced to stand 6 feet away from each other for an extended period of time, the handshake is still the most important professional greeting in the world today. And there are many cultures in the world, and there are places where you bow, and places where you hug, and places where you cheek kiss, and all of those things are perfectly appropriate in those places. However, The handshake is the preferred American greeting, and for now, the preferred business language in terms of how we speak is currently English. So, if you're going to do business in this world, or if you're a manager in a multinational corporation, you need to know how to shake hands. So in this cast, we're going to walk through how to do that in excruciating detail.
It's going to be good. And we know this works, y'all. We shake hands all the time with strangers, especially at our, for example, public conferences.
I can't even tell you how many hands I shake, dude. So many. I couldn't even make up a number.
And why would you?
30 people's hands a week? More? A lot.
Yeah, at least 30 a week, I would suggest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and full strangers. For the first time meeting you, full strangers, 30 people a week. And because we have public events, public conferences, right? We have handshake opportunities. And This is the guidance I use for my handshake, obviously, of course. Mm-hmm. I've been using it for a really long time, though. And people comment on my handshake all the time.
Me too.
I mean, and maybe it's because we're ladies. And so people aren't necessarily expecting...
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that?
The strength. I don't know what the word is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The strength behind it, maybe.
Yeah. I'm not dainty. I guess what she's saying is we're not dainty about it.
We're not dainty about it. And I do think my experience with this content, this set of guidance, is that it works and it's noticeable.
Yeah.
People really find it noticeable.
For sure.
We've got an event in September, the 12th and 13th in LA. Mm-hmm. It's one of the places we're going this year, and I'm really excited. We love going to LA. And it's also in California. It's one of the places where handshakes are kind of a part of, like, it's like, oh, do we shake hands like this? How do we do it?
Like, how do we do it? Like, what do we do? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a good time to be doing it.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with the purpose of a handshake and some brief notes, like background-y kind of thing.
Yeah, like background-y. Yeah.
So
some lead up.
Yeah, just anecdotes about handshakes, although they're factual and historically accurate, so there's that. The purpose of a handshake is physical touch associated with a greeting. And since they're part of a greeting, let's agree that that purpose is to make a positive first impression. We go to shake hands, there's physical touch associated with the greeting, and in greetings, we want to make positive first impressions.
Yes.
Usually, if you put aside grooming, dress, the way a person makes a first impression is the exchange of names, facial expression, smiling, eye contact kind of stuff. And certainly there's more factors. These are the big ones.
Yeah.
the things that if you don't do them, it's hard to be successful in creating a positive first impression.
Yeah, exactly. And I mentioned a moment ago that this is going to be excruciating detail. We're going to go over 10 steps on this. I don't even know, start to finish, Kate. How long does it take? 15-second instance in one's life. And before we go into those 10 steps, it's important to note that there will be, by definition, thousands of variations on the theme we're going to lay out here. That is, everyone's got their style, right? Everyone is going to try and apply their style. And in many cases, that style is probably fine. We will, though, in this cast, make the argument that our style in this context oughtn't deviate much more than 20% from any of the individual steps that we're going to outline here. Because the thing is, both people know how to shake hands and they know what to expect in their receipt of someone shaking hands. So if you vary too far afield from the standard handshake, people are going to think you're a little bit weird or a little bit off or worse, if you're using this in a business context, which you probably are, unprofessional to some degree.
Yeah, there's a standard and then you can put your style over it.
Exactly. Like an overlay.
And the core of the handshake, we would recommend you keep.
Yeah.
It's so funny. We've talked about this example sometimes. People have probably heard it from us, that somebody once asked Mark, one of our co-founders, to evaluate their handshake after he had just spoken.
Yeah, like gave a speech about handshakes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mark gave the speech and then said, hey, audience, come on down and I'll give you some feedback on your handshake.
Shake my hand. Mm-hmm.
And this guy had about the right grip, but got really close bodily-wise, like the distance between the
in
bodies
your personal
was really
space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, close talker. Although maybe not so much. Maybe it's just a handshake technique that he used. And sort of turned to the left and down as they were shaking hands, so that it sort of pushed his right shoulder towards Mark's chest. And if you've met Mark, he's a tall guy. Yeah. So it's depending on the size of the other person, when this handshake was applied to somebody else, it could have been almost like right in your eyes. I mean, I don't know. And it had a kind of interesting flair.
Yeah, like just kind of like chill.
Hey.
Like, hey, yo, I'm just a cash. I'm like, here, I'm just, you know? But it's not professional for business uses.
Right.
That's the thing.
Maybe it's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
sure.
I almost said maybe it's cool in LA.
Oh, that's so fair. Cool. That's so
LA is
fair.
Well, what I was thinking is because LA is cool. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
That's, I don't know. The problem with that statement is I'm not the correct arbiter of coolness since my cool factor is incredibly low. The guy who's doing this cool handshake said that he thought he had met all the criteria and then was just showing some flair, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the response to that kind of is, okay. It's a bit like the fact that in France, a kiss on the cheek is appropriate. And it's really not that far removed from a kiss on the lips, which is
they're
not.
They're close to each other. In proximity, they really are.
So this guy's, we equate this handshake, this flared handshake, with the equivalent of a kiss on the lips in France at a business meeting, which we, no, not a good technique.
No, it may be close, but back away, sir. No.
Yeah, right. And y'all, what we really want to help everybody understand is that if you want to impress somebody, your handshake just maybe isn't the place to improvise.
Yeah, you don't want to get too far off what's expected, what's the norm. Exactly. And then finally, the last comment, before the actual steps, the two least known and best parts of these steps, which I'm going to go over in a minute, are numbers 6 and 7. And number 9 is the step that addresses the question we're most asked. So here are the 10 steps to a great handshake. First off, make eye contact, then smile, move forward, left foot first, elbow in, web to web, push them back, grip the bat, 1 to 2 pumps, and let's go. All right. Now,
step one is eye contact.
Yeah, step one is eye contact. And Kate, you mentioned this is essentially our opportunity to make that first impression.
Yeah, the whole thing is, but without eye contact, this maybe is not really as effective.
Yeah, exactly. As all that to say, as soon as you think there's the possibility that you're going to meet someone, the first step really is make eye contact with that person. Said differently, there's really no place for, or it would be a little strange to, shake the hand of a person you've not made eye contact with. It would be a bit disarming, in fact, to the recipient.
Yeah, honestly.
Oh, you're getting very close. Why are you here? Oh, you're going to shake my hand. I had no idea. We're not even making eye contact yet. These things are in the wrong order. Yeah, exactly.
It's the first kind of like indicator that you're going to acknowledge them and therefore introduce yourself, shake their hand, et cetera.
Exactly.
If you're not making eye contact with them and you move to shake their hand, honestly, they might not even be looking at you.
Yeah, they don't even know.
Yeah, it's the preface that says, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, hey, I caught your eye. Let's step forward. Let's shake hands. And folks, all that to say, because your expectation is if you're going to shake hands, you've probably already made eye contact with this person. It would be perfectly reasonable for you to then, dear listener, be there thinking, well, why are we talking about this at all? And the reason we talk about eye contact before we start talking about the shaking of hands is many people who struggle with shaking hands are so worried about making good contact with the other person's hand that for that reason, they then, in turn, thinking about, oh, making sure our hands touch, are looking down at a person's hands and aren't making eye contact at all. The biggest reason handshakes go poorly is not making eye contact first because you're so busy thinking about hands.
And we recommend that you just keep eye contact.
Yeah.
Don't worry about making contact with their hand until the last second. Rely upon your physical instincts, of which you have a great many.
I mean, you do. You'll know where shocked. The hand is. Mm-hmm.
You'd be shocked, you guys. I mean, just the simple act of going downstairs requires so much like physical.
Oh, absolutely. So many
instinct
muscles
from
involved.
You.
Absolutely.
And if a stare is off by a millimeter.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, you miss it. Like, yeah. That's how good your body is.
Things aren't to scale, or things aren't to code. Stairs? Can't tell you how many times I almost fell downstairs. I'm like, oh, I forgot this building was built before building codes existed.
Right.
These stairs are not the right size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not standardized. And then your body doesn't,
Every single time your body's adjusting. It's the same. Handshakes are the same. You'll find their hand.
Yes. Don't worry about making contact with their hand until the last second. Use your instincts, and at the last second, briefly look at this person's hand. That will be enough. Mm-hmm. So make eye contact and only briefly look at their hand just before hand contact.
Exactly. And then smile. Remember that, again, this is a first impression. Your handshake's only part of this equation. It's an important part because it's one of the things that many people mess up. So that's why so many people pay attention to it, but it's still just a part, the single most powerful thing you can do to make a good first impression is smile. And while you might not think that's a big deal, it's really not a function of you getting credit for doing that. It's if you don't do it, you're going to kill your chances of making a good impression. If you're not smiling, if you've got a glare face or like a facial expression that doesn't exude, hey, I'm happy to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Then it doesn't matter how good your handshake is. You're not going to have made a good impression.
Yeah. People say often to me, they say, oh, that person is or is not friendly. Mm. And because we talk a lot about behaviors. When we talk about behaviors and you start to think in behaviors. And so when people say, oh, that person is or is not friendly, and it's kind of a surface relationship.
Yeah.
When you push on that comment, the underlying behavior is smiling or not smiling, the overwhelming majority of the time.
Totally.
It's not that people know about your friendliness.
They don't know.
What they mean is, if you don't smile at people, you're not seen as friendly.
Exactly.
And while maybe you don't want to be seen as friendly, I would assume that people don't want to be seen as unfriendly.
Yeah,
is what lack of a smile is.
Totally.
And
yes.
Maybe someday we'll do a cast on smiling, but we think you're smart people. So we'll just say we recommend you smile. And if you're not willing to do so, no matter how tense this meeting is, please don't tell anyone that you learned to shake hands from us.
Yeah.
A perfect handshake won't overcome that stone face or the Mm-mm. perception of unfriendliness.
Exactly.
So please smile. We would like to make the world a friendlier place.
We would. We totally would. Okay. So then there is move forward. Of all the steps in handshaking, and again, we come to our guidance through trial and test, right? We go through and we iterate on our processes and improve them and make them better. This last step, the move forward step, is the last one added. Because of confusion over the next step, which we'll get to in a minute, which is left foot forward. The reason is that when we used to tell people lead with your left foot, they then realized, without really actively realizing it, realized they were too far away from the person to take a single step. So they led with their left foot, because we said left foot forward, but then depending on the distance between them and the person they're shaking hands with, they found themselves at said person and realized, oh, dang, my left foot's not the forward foot. And now you're thinking, shoot, how do I get my left foot forward? And it's this whole confusing thing. So that's why we added the move forward piece. At the end, we want your left foot to be ahead of your right. However, you're going to probably need to move closer to achieve that.
Yeah, could be. Or if you're already standing kind of like regular distance from each other, like a human talking distance from them, like if you're in like a little tripod and somebody comes up or something, like you could be close enough.
But exactly.
We can't tell you which foot you should step forward with first. And we don't instinctually know. You may not know this. There are right-handed people. There are left-handed people. There are right-footed people and left-footed people.
Mm-hmm.
My dominant foot is left, which is
not your dominant hand.
No, it's not. And I was going to say it's not normal. And I know some people don't love that comment. So what I'll say is this. In surfing, there's a goofy foot. And, you know, maybe your predominant foot is the one they call goofy, like me. So maybe that's a helpful way to think of it. We don't know the distance.
We don't know.
So the key is to be comfortable doing whatever you're doing and moving forward.
Yes.
And try to end up with your left foot in the front when you shake.
Exactly.
And it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Again, the goal, move toward them so that your left foot equals forward. And this part, as you can probably imagine, all this lead up to it, this part is probably the most difficult step to guarantee. So we say it's a great thing if you can do it. It can totally help. But if you don't do it, your handshake will still be fine.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that this is important is the same reason that thinking baseball, we're going to use a lot of baseball analogies today. Right-handed hitters put their left side toward the pitcher, and right-handed boxers lead with their left side. They do this because you can generate more energy from the side you don't lead with.
Mm-hmm.
That is, as you'll see as we get through here, when we get closer to the end, we want there to be energy with that shake. We want to come into it with, force is probably a strong word, but a little bit of energy. We want to exude some excitement in our handshake. And we can do that by getting a little bit of weight behind it. So left foot forward can help us with that energy.
Yeah, if your left foot is forward, when you extend your right hand, then you can rotate your upper body a little bit, which gives you that extra energy to impart to the person whom you're meeting. And the kind of inertia there, because I don't want to say force.
Yeah, force is the wrong word.
That's not what we're going for. And, we already used the word energy, but that inertia of the turn can impart some excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're increasing
energy.
The
energy. Like some I'm happy to meet you. I'm, you know, like
it's
that.
A physical
like,
energy associated with, there's an excitement here.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot like if you were holding a baseball. You don't ever have to have played baseball and ever in your life.
No, you just need to have thrown at anything, actually. Thrown a stapler at a colleague. Same action.
Oh, dear.
I know, but it's true. You can throw at anything. You don't ever have to have played baseball.
It's just a very specific choice.
I don't even know why I came up with that. I don't even have a stapler.
And now I feel like we should choose a gentler example. Another example is what a boxer does. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's not gentler. It's actually getting a little more aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, you're supposed to do it if you're a boxer.
The other person knows the punch is
coming.
Opposed
to like,
so that's reasonable.
Yeah, so it's like a little, it's more aggressive, but more reasonable.
But yeah.
If you wanted to feel it, you could stand up right now, put your fists, like ball up your hands into fists in front of your chest, and put your left side in front of your right, and keep your elbows close to your side and rotate your body to the left as you punch out with your right hand, like a Zumba move or a boxing move or, maybe like some people use weights to do it.
Yeah.
That's the inertia we're talking about. And it's really honestly, like for a person who doesn't box, it's not very much. We're not trying to get you to like put a ton of energy behind it. We're just saying, if you're standing still, it can be difficult to create inertia, excepting if you create it with that imbalance of left foot forward, moving forward a little bit.
Exactly.
And there's no conflict.
Yeah, no. I can't say enough about the fact that don't throw staplers at your colleagues. Don't punch them. Don't throw balls at people. Folks, the analogies we're using aren't meant to be suggestive of your overtaking the person.
No.
That you're shaking hands with, right? Or there's some sort of conflict here, or that's not what any of these analogies are about. It's just, these are examples of things that you've surely seen or done yourself. And therefore, that twisting motion to create that inertia makes sense to your brain. It's that. So no conflict.
Yeah.
This is a last call for all our government clients or prospective clients. The fiscal year is closely approaching, and we've been asked numerous times lately for our training to take place after September 30th. And what that means for us is we want to ensure you get the dates you want for your training. We want to work for you. And we do have some August and September dates available, but this won't last. So email Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E at manager-tools.com to learn more.
Next, elbow in. And we've noticed this being one of the bigger mistakes that we observe. When your elbow flies away from your body, it causes you to be less able to deliver like any strength or energy from your hand. Like you're essentially distributing the motion into too many vectors, really, to create the inertia, the forward inertia. Also, it's awkward for the other person. It makes it harder for them to meet your hand.
Right.
If your hand is like rolling around outside the kind of torso space, you've introduced an extra degree of freedom into this what could be a linear and therefore quite simple equation. I do know someone who shakes hands with their left hand on the elbow of the other person for this specific reason. And I would not suggest it, y'all. Like, I know someone who purposely puts their hand on the other person's elbow.
Yeah, we talk about that in here. Those other hands, like a hand on a hand, hand on a shoulder, a hand on an elbow, like touching with the second hand.
And the person I know uses it to keep the other person's elbow straight. Not okay.
Not okay.
We're not trying to apply any pressure to the other person's elbow.
No. And worse yet, you come across a little schmoozy.
I also think that this person has adapted it on purpose. Like this person I personally know. Like they've had too many like flying
wild elbows.
Yeah. They've adapted themselves to like fix this problem that they've seen.
That's the thing.
Which is kind of funny.
Well, we mentioned when we're talking eye contact, and you've got to assume if you've got this concern, other people do. Many people are more worried about whether or not the hands are going to meet therefore aren't making eye contact. Mm-hmm. So if another person's taking a wild swing with their elbow and they're trying to track where your hand is, things get super crazy. It's not a way of having a personal style. Some people think it's their way of having a personal style, but it's, again, it's disarming to the other person. They almost feel like, although most of us wouldn't, they almost feel like grabbing your elbow and being like, I need some predictability here, yo. Because your flair for the dramatic in your handshake, we'll call it, is not a way of having style. It makes it harder to have a good impression because people can't predict where your arm's going to be in space. And your arm obviously needs to move, folks. We're not suggesting that your arm can't extend out in front of you. Your arm is going to have to extend if you're shaking hands, which we're going to get to more about in step 7. But what we're saying is don't let your elbow fly out to the side. It's okay if it moves from your hip toward the other person on a line connecting you and them. That's inevitable. That's basically how handshakes work. But we just don't recommend flapping around like a chicken. That's all. That's all.
Keep your chickens at home.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the most important thing. Web to web. This is the most important thing you do to have a great handshake. This is it. If you're looking for the secret, because we're giving you a lot of secrets. If you're looking for the secret, this is it. The biggest problem with handshakes is not getting a good grip with the person you're meeting their hand. So if you're nervous or either one of you is not paying attention, you run the risk of gripping them too soon, grabbing their fingers or vice versa. And it almost always leads to a less than ideal first impression. Mm-hmm. It also can really kind of hurt. Like if someone, if they don't know they've gotten your fingers, like if or like you try to pull back at the last second and they do end up with your fingers, man, the pressure that we're going to suggest on just your finger bones can be not comfy. So as you extend your hand, and by the way, this is the moment where you might look down and lose eye contact.
And that's
okay. Sure, try to put the webbing between your thumb and forefinger into the webbing between their thumb and forefinger. Mm-hmm. So webbing
to webbing. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds so funny.
I know, right? So funny. And folks, Kate said this. This is the secret sauce. This is the magic move. Do this well and you'll get more confident. And that will cause you to do even better throughout the remainder of this interaction, conversation, business meeting, potentially. Because when it happens, when this web-to-web connection happens, you'll know you did it. And you'll recognize that this is a really easy way to eliminate all of those other clumsy, weird half handshakes that have happened in the past. It feels like you're truly connecting with the person, which is the goal of the handshake, right? You want to have that connection moment, that meeting another person, first impression, physical contact. And the web-to-web causes a situation where both parties are connected, and then we can ultimately release instead of, to Kate's point, your fingers get pinched and then someone's in a bit of a pain and it's not cool. So yes, web to web. It's the magic.
Yeah. Next, push them back. And this is our favorite step.
It's delicate. Remember back to forcefulness. We don't want you to be forceful. We want there to be inertia.
Right. Mm-hmm. With a little bit of practice, you will likely agree it's a enormous competitive advantage. Some of you will choose not to do it because that's not you, and that is fine. What we mean here is that when you go web to web, put a little extra speed behind your hand when the hands meet, such that what happens is the other person's hand will be pushed back ever so slightly. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I cannot stress this enough. This is the only tried and true way to impart energy in a positive way. People are trying to do the energy thing with squeeze. They're trying to do grip strength. And we're going to come to that, grip strength next. That is not a positive experience for the other person.
And it's painful.
It's not.
Especially if you're wearing like rings, jewelry, and your little fingers get squashed together. No, don't squeeze the hand. Just that little bit of push.
Mm-hmm. Push, not squeeze.
Not squeeze. Exactly. Exactly.
And yeah, so it's just like, that's what we want to make sure people know. The squeeze is a negative way to demonstrate strength, which is I think what people are trying to get at. If you're trying to demonstrate strength or positive energy, it's the slight push back of their hand that does it in a way that's not offensive or painful, frankly.
Exactly. And folks, when we say push here, note, we're not trying to knock the person over. Like, you're not trying to, like, cause them to stumble backward. That's not the point here. It's only a little bit more energy than the other person has. So their hand moves back an inch or so. The training technique that we generally tend to recommend is, if you're familiar with driving a car that is standard or stick shift, it's about the strength it takes to take a car with a stick shift and click it into gear. That last little push that seats the stick. That's the difference. Now, please, folks. Ugh,
someone's going to say something.
I know. Please don't write us an email and tell us that, well, your vehicle has got a particularly delicate stick mechanism and that this analogy wasn't useful. This analogy is not going to be useful for all of the people. Sometimes analogies don't apply to some people who are listening to this have never driven a shift stick automobile in their entire lives. So also come up with your own analogy that fits here.
Yeah. All we're recommending is a little bit extra at the end to push their hand back a little bit, an inch. Bear in mind how small an inch is.
Yeah.
This is the way to impress them with your energy by not offending or hurting them, which brings us to grip strength and our recommendation to grip the bat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Kate mentioned this just a minute ago. This is a really misunderstood part of the handshake, probably the most, frankly. There are plenty of men, usually younger men, that have one or two misconceptions, I'm going to call it, about a handshake. First, they mistakenly believe that the strong handshake is good. And instead of the push technique, they transfer all of their thinking about strength into grip, thus crushing hands. We discussed this, not the best way of doing it. But second, they don't understand that while they may aspire to be gentlemen, this isn't the Victorian era. And women are equals in all ways, including how we shake hands. Women shake hands like everyone else is. Everyone else does. Do not just shake our fingers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so leaving all the things you should not do aside, because that's not our purview. The issue is, what is good grip strength? And younger people struggle, not so much with, it's not because they're younger, it's just inexperience.
Oh, yeah.
It's a professional immaturity that doesn't have anything to do with age, necessarily. Simply, if you haven't shaken hundreds, almost said shooken, which is really fun.
That's really not right.
I know. Earlier today, also, I said mooses.
Why were you talking about mooses today? That just seems really far off. Oh, well, yeah.
Like, Sarah and I's real life doesn't have a lot of moose consulting. In it.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like moose is a really common part of
my job. I live
with
a lot of people from Idaho.
Okay, yeah.
And there's a lot of moose. And my niece asked me if we were going to see a moose.
Oh, in Austin. Probably not. Yeah. Oh, when you're on your upcoming trip to Idaho. Fun.
Yes.
Fun.
And so I accidentally used the wrong plural of moose, which was really confusing for her since we're trying to teach correct words. Maybe I'm not the right person today.
You're not the teacher of the English. No.
Lack of experience could put you in a position where if you haven't shaken a lot of hands, you might not know what is the best practice. And people who join the business world or professional world later in life, same issue. Practice and familiarity breed an understanding. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a little training technique that we can help you practice, I suppose, to approximate the right grip. All you need is a baseball bat. So we prefer a wooden baseball bat, about 33.
Because of the weight.
About 33 inches long. preferably not a humongous baseball bat. Or a baseball bat that's about 30 inches is fine. We wouldn't recommend, for example, a golf club because right. it's going to have a different weight and it's going to be longer.
Right.
So the fact that it's not heavy and it's longer and it's going to be too difficult in that it won't approximate also the size mm-hmm. of a person's hand. So a baseball exactly. bat, a wooden one, normal size is best for this.
Yeah. Louisville Slugger. And essentially what you do is hold the bat in your right hand with your hand pretty close to your right hip.
Mm-hmm.
Your hand does need to be at the narrow end of the bat, right? Close to the bottom. Don't choke up, for those of you who play baseball or who watch baseball. The knob of the bat should be about in your right pocket.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then with your hand sitting there, simply lift the head or the heavy end of the bat up so that the bat is level and parallel to the ground. You don't want to extend your hand out as if you're about to shake. Keep it pretty close to your hip. And when you look down at your right hand, your thumb should be pointed downward. The strength it takes you to hold the bat level out in front of you is the right grip strength to have when shaking hands.
Yeah, the size of the bat is more crucial than the size of the person. You could mm-hmm. be smaller, shorter, taller, bigger hands, none of that matters. The whole point is to standardize everyone's grip.
Yeah.
That's our goal. Height, weight, hand size, it doesn't matter in a handshake, really not in the bat either in mm-hmm. the end, as long as we're all using the same measure.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're saying, everybody use this, and then we'll all be on the same page. Glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a pretty common thing. A lot of people have baseball yeah. bats.
Even if they don't play baseball, just around.
Yeah. Yeah,
they just do.
Common.
I don't know why. Odd. Okay, so then next. 1 to 2 pumps. This is the step we get the most questions about, but the questions themselves come in 2 forms. The first question being, how long should I keep holding on? As in, like, how many seconds should I keep holding this person's hand? Mm-hmm. And then, how bad is it when you let go and they keep holding on? What should I do if they keep holding on? Do I re-grip? Do I just stand there with my hand open? Like, what is the protocol here?
It's simple. Pump their hand once or twice, maximum twice. Okay, so once, mm-hmm. maximum twice. And then let go.
Yeah.
And if somebody holds on afterwards, just do not re-grip.
No.
You've essentially evacuated. Continue mm-hmm. to evacuate. And okay, if you think they're trying to make a point, just console yourself with the knowledge that that's silly of them
yeah.
and they don't know any better and you do. It's a greeting. It's not a test
yeah.
or a trick or a device. It's a greeting. We're yeah. trying to impart to the other person that we are polite. We are friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We are someone yeah. worth speaking with.
Right. And having business dealings with, and we're a good person. And
yeah. So sure, you're being evaluated. And it's also not a parlor game. And it's
yeah.
a, what, 15-second interaction? Are we really trying in a 15-second interaction to impart our entire personality? Mm-hmm. And is your personality trying to scare people?
Yeah, overcome this other person?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay, well, that. And
15 seconds. Good luck. All right.
It is kind of awkward. We just let go.
Yeah, just let go. Just let go.
Next step.
Exactly.
Let go.
Let go. So continuing with the logic then of the previous step, let go after your 1 or maximum 2 pumps, your call, or when the other person lets go, whichever one comes first. If they don't pump, let go. We can't tell you how many handshakes we've had where the only thing that happened was our hand webs met. And
yeah.
that's fine. That's also out. Fine. Out.
Boom. No up, no down, no movement, just web, bat squeeze, out.
Exactly.
Done.
And that's that.
10 simple steps.
10 simple steps, exactly.
To what makes a good handshake.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, to recap, though, we've got some no-nos. Right?
We do.
So the no double hand grips, right? That Kate mentioned, she's got a friend, puts the hand on the elbow. Or you can imagine when somebody shakes your hand, they put a hand on top of it. We don't recommend it. Some people think it shows sincerity, but in most professional situations, It's seen as overkill. More problematically, it's kind of seen as slick, kind of fake, a little bit schmoozy in a way that's not great for business dealings.
We also don't recommend a shoulder clasp.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same impact experience for the other person as the two-handed grip.
Mm-hmm. Don't move your hand side to side in any way. Like a big swinging handshake. Yeah. It's seen as a bit over the top. Unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no pulling. Y'all, do not pull the other person towards you.
Yeah.
It pulls them off balance. It's super disconcerting. People do not like it. They don't.
No.
And this is your first impression. We want it to be a positive one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I think there's definitely people, Kate, who are listening to this and thinking, you know what? You guys are really nerdy. Breaking your handshakes down to this such intricate detail. But folks, it works. And to go a step further, I mean, this is why we exist. There are plenty of people who are new in their careers who want to know how to do it right and don't know, but also don't know where to go. Or worse yet, they go to the internet and they ask the internet, how do I best shake hands? And they're immediately reminded that what they're finding online can't possibly be right. And there's way too many solutions, all of which look really bad for this one tiny 15-second interaction.
Yeah, that's why we started Vanager Tools.
That's that.
Because some of what's guidance out there is really not worthy of the word.
Exactly.
We hope that this helps, y'all. The secrets to a great handshake are not secrets anymore. And we're happy that we get to share them with you because having a great handshake is seen as a very positive thing. And we just want to impart that wisdom.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, Kate.
Bye, y'all.